Christmas puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
You're listening to Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough, who joins me now from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us of the clue that you left us with last week.
Well, I said we were going to visit a community in eastern Manitoba that every year celebrates around the Labor Day weekend something called the 4P Festival. But as a result of an abandonment we're going to talk about today, probably should be renamed the 3P Festival.
Okay, so tell us why it should be renamed the 3P.
Well, we're talking
and
about...
And what does P even stand for at this
well,
point?
Come
I'm
to
missing
that.
The fundamental question.
Yep. We're talking about the community of Powerview Pine Falls, and 4P stands for paper, power, pea, and pickerel. Essentially, it's the four products of the community, because if you think about it, pickerel, for example, because it's right on the banks of the Winnipeg River, there's wonderful fishing in that area, so you can catch, among other things, pickerel. I'm told that in the St. George area, just downstream a little bit, there's once was a very active pea-growing area. I'm not sure if they grow peas anymore, but they certainly did in the past. They have a big power dam there, the Pine Falls Generating Station from Manitoba Hydro, which is power. And then lastly, we had in Pine Falls itself, the community, a vast paper mill where they made newsprint. The paper mill that goes back to 1927 is no longer, and there's, let's say, loss of one of the peas.
So take us back to what happened.
Well, in the early 20s, there was a lumber merchant by the name of John MacArthur, and he, among other things, secured a large area of sort of a forest cutting license from the federal government to the forests in this part of eastern Manitoba, and the idea was to cut trees and then use them for either timber or to make paper. And you grind the wood up and you make it into pulp, and then you make form the pulp into a paper. So his idea was to establish a mill along the Winnipeg River because, of course, right in proximity to the mill would be a very large supply of water, and you need water to make paper. So the idea was this was an ideal spot to build a paper mill. So in 1925, they began work. The construction of the mill continued through 1926 and opened in early 1927, the first paper coming from Manitoba. In fact, for many, many years, this was the only news print mill on the prairies. So it was a very important facility, of course, because, you know, what do you use newsprint for?
Newspaper.
There you go. Every community had a newspaper, not just, of course, big places like Winnipeg, but every community pretty much had a newspaper. And so you needed a supply of newsprint for all these newspapers. So this was a local supply. As opposed to having to bring it in from far, far away, you could now get locally produced newsprint. So they began producing. In fact, in the early days, in the 20s, they made 250 tons of paper every day. They employed 300 men to run the mill, and then another 300 to 400 men out in what they call the woods department, because their job was to go out into the forests to cut the trees in various logging camps to bring those logs to the Winnipeg River. They would put them in the river and float them downriver to the mill, and then they'd scoop them out and turned them into paper. But of course, on top of that, you can't just have people living in the middle of nowhere without any services. So in addition to building the mill, the company also built a town. The town of Pine Falls was a company town.
Interesting.
Which, of course, means that it was essentially a product of the company. Everything was provided by the company. You know, they provided you houses. In fact, I came across an interesting little fact that not only did the company provide you with a house, they also gave you a lawnmower to mow the lawn. And the mill superintendent would drive around the neighborhood looking to see if anyone was neglecting their lawn care. And if so, you were in trouble. They also provided a store that provided you with groceries, with dry goods, with hardware. There was a school for your kids. There was a hospital. Very early on, even, there was a golf course. So, you know, the company basically attended to all of the needs of the people who worked at this mill. Now, over time, it changed hands various times. Mr. MacArthur himself actually didn't live to see the facility really in its heyday. He died very soon after this all got started. It became the property of a company called the Abitibi Paper Company in 1928. During the Great Depression, of course, because a lot of things really suffered economically during that time, it actually closed down for a period from 1932 to 1935. But then it reopened, and it was remaining in operation then for several decades after that, and it became became a major facility. In fact, by 1976, I came across an interesting statistic. By 76, it was producing 480 tons of paper a day. Now, I'll give you some perspective on that. That's enough for making 1 million 48-page newspapers. So that's a heck of a lot of paper. To produce that kind of paper, they had to consume 3¾ billion, billion with a B, gallons of water a year, and 265,000 megawatt hours of electricity. And that's about 40% of the total output of the hydro dam nearby. So, I mean, it was a major consumer of resources. It also used a lot of coal. Now, why do you suppose they would have used coal, Nadja?
Because that's one way of, just tell me, Gordon.
Well, you have to run the mill. You have to generate heat. You have to cook the fibers to make them break apart to make the paper.
It was on the tip of my tongue, I swear, dear listeners.
Well, the coal was a major fuel for this. And of course, we now today look at coal as not especially clean energy. You know, it produces a lot of greenhouse gases, for example. It gives off a lot of sulfur and produces acid rain, for instance. So, in other words, the mill, unfortunately, was not an especially environmentally friendly thing. Many people who have ever visited a paper town will, of course, associate with that town a smell. The smell of sulfur, because in addition to whatever sulfur was in the coal, they also added sulfur to the process to make the paper. So there was a process called the sulfite pulping process. And in most towns that use the sulfite process, there was sort of a rotten eggs smell in the air pretty much all the time. So, unfortunately, this mill was not one of the more, say, environmentally friendly ones. Remember, I worked for the government at one point in the 1980s, and I asked for a tour of the mill, and I know I got a very wonderful tour. It was a really interesting and thought-provoking thing. And at the end of it, the guy who gave me the tour said, well, he was told to not show me the dirtiest parts of the mill because they, I guess, were a little embarrassed by it. And that was a real problem because, of course, as you move into the later part of the 20th century, environmental regulations were becoming increasingly stringent. And this old mill that went back to the 1920s was having a harder and harder time meeting the emission standards, you know, the stuff they would put up into the air, the effluent they would dump into the Winnipeg River. Because, of course, at one time, people used to think that the solution to pollution is dilution. Mm. You know, you just dump it into all that water and away it goes and it's out of mind.
Well, it does rhyme, so.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's not the best
not
way
really
to do
true.
It because, of course, that stuff does go somewhere. It passes downriver and, of course, into Lake Winnipeg. So in the early part of this current century, they began to upgrade the mill. In fact, between 1999 and 2001, they built an industry standard, what was called a TMP mill, a thermomechanical mill, which used a different process altogether. It didn't use sulfite, for example. So as a result of that new mill that was built roughly about 17 years ago, it no longer had the rotten egg smell in town. In fact, somebody told me that the town now began smelling rather pleasantly of sort of wood shavings. And in fact, because they produced a vast amount of waste heat from this process, this thermomechanical process, they had a heat recovery system, which meant they didn't need to use as much coal. So the net result was that this mill now produced 50% less greenhouse gases than it had done before under the old mill. So now it had become a much more environmentally friendly facility as of, say, the turn of the 21st century in 2001 when it became operational. Unfortunately, of course, this series is Abandoned Manitoba. And you're probably thinking, where does that come into this story? Well, of course, I think many people will know that the market for newsprint isn't what it is anymore. You know, I say at one time, every community had a newspaper. Well, today, that is definitely not the case. Newspapers are closing left and right. Even the ones that are still around are downsizing. So the market for newsprint is dramatically smaller than it was not long ago. So unfortunately, the mill at Pine Falls closed in September of 2009. And this was just 8 to 9 years after that brand new mill had become operational. They began to demolish the mill in 2011, and by the spring of 2014, this once dominant element, the thing that had really driven the economy of not just the town itself, but the entire region, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here was even that thermomechanical mill that had been built and had become operational in 2001. within 13 years was gone. You know, and so today, if you visit the site, well, pretty much all you can see are there's some piles of scrap steel. There's a hydro substation that they built in 2000 to supply power to that new TMP mill. There's an old steam locomotive that's on display. There's a newer diesel locomotive that they used to shunt cars of coal around when they were using that to fuel the mill. And that's pretty much it.
There we go. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome, Nadja.
A hint for next week, please.
Well, we're going to visit a site in Winnipeg where in one place you can find an abandoned greenhouse, an abandoned laboratory, an abandoned swimming pool, and an abandoned morgue.
I don't know how I feel about that, finding all those places in one space, but I look forward to hearing more about it. Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.